This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The virus hit the World Series in baseball last night, and what I'm talking about is analytics. The virus that is analytics. All of you tired of your shifts and your home runs and your pitching changes. A win for the gut last night. Stugatz came in here waddling and swaggering because, of course, not at no time in human history in our most historic sport. Do you ever take out Blake Snell in that situation? But, Mike, Stugatz just opened the show here right before we started. Stugatz was in front of his microphone standing up. His knees were bent, and he was giving me both of his middle fingers, okay?
With kickstands.
Yes, both of those middle fingers came with kickstands. And the reason he was doing this, Mike, is because he was again arguing on behalf of being the guy at the blackjack table who's not using analytics, who's playing in the last seat, and who is hitting a six against a six. And when the table gets mad at him, he yells, "You play your hand, I'll play mine."
Yeah.
Analytics, breath. But what he was just doing right now is saying, but what about the time that I get the five with my six to get my 21, and the dealer then gets a bus card that would have given him or her 21, then he dropped down into his stance and gave me the kickstands and the double middle fingers as a way of saluting the table when he is that guy. He's a bleep hole in all circumstances. You don't need analytics to know that.
I am all the things you just described. I do that. And Mike, here's the thing, because when you hit and you have a five, dealer has five, everyone is stuck, right? And everyone's hoping, hey, the next card's going to be a face card where he's going to bust and we're all going to win some money here. I love when I do that and you hear the groan of the entire table and they're mad at you. And then you pull the right card. And then the next card is the face card. I feel like I should win everyone's money because you doubted me. You questioned my gut, and I feel like all the chips on the table should be mine.
But you're still affecting all the cards, so your decision now made somebody else lose.
Look, all of what happened in baseball last night is symbolic, and we're going to talk about both viruses, the analytics virus, the most dangerous of the viruses, given how Americans hate math, and Stugatz being the guy at the blackjack table during a pandemic, not only giving you double middle fingers, grabbing all your chips, but shouting from behind, not a mask, with spittle all over the table, double middle fingers, bleep off, you handle your cards, I'll handle mine. We are telling the Dodgers now how to celebrate the responsible way on behalf of the American people. And the reports are coming out now, Stugatz, that Justin Turner, I don't know whether this is Major League Baseball ass covering or whether this is actually what happened, but the reports are coming out now that as soon as Justin Turner tested positive, he was quarantined, then he came out of that quarantine, and when Major League Baseball asked him to please not be with the players, he ignored, he refused. These are the reports. He went out there anyway. He kissed his wife without a mask after being positive. So the baseball season symbolically lurches to a close in the most fireworks ending of a fireworks show you've ever seen, where in the eighth inning, someone's getting pulled for the virus, but they get at the finish line to all the greedy money they were trying to get to in the distorted, lopsided season, and they barely avoid the calamity of having a game seven and your structural integrity impacted at the very end by the fact that Turner can't play and seven Dodgers are out, and how are we going to play game seven? They got so lucky that that Dodger bullpen held up and did not blow that lead, because what you would have had today would have been a whole lot of media conversations about, wait a minute, the World Series is going to stop right now in a tie, correct? It's going to stop at 3-3 because we've got to test all the Dodgers and do all the contact tracing on the Rays as well.
And it would have been the first, and we'll see, I don't think it's a false positive, but if it's not a false positive, it would be the first positive in a bubble in professional sports, at least in this country, correct?
But so many questions. Why are we getting the test results in the seventh or eighth inning of a game and not before the game? And then I'm sorry, there is no taking no for an answer. It's 2020. There's a pandemic going on, and he has a manager. Let me remind you, that is a cancer survivor, okay? There is no way Major League Baseball should allow Justin Turner. I understand the emotion. I understand his teammates wanted to celebrate with him. I understand Dave Roberts wanted to celebrate with him. but they're emotional, and you cannot let them make that decision. Someone needs to step in for Major League Baseball.
I understand, and I know that you feel like you nailed that with your "I do" and your finger in the air, because you're absolutely right. It is a very easy stance. It's also the correct stance, and there are some things in America that might make you wonder whether or not, when the authority says X, it's getting overrun all over our country. When authority, you see the fights in the streets between protesters and the police. It's very easy to say security needs to stop Justin Turner in that spot. Justin Turner is a god in that spot. Justin Turner's teammates are calling for him to celebrate with them. Mookie Betts is saying, we wanted our teammate with us. It's very easy for you to say here and me to say here, security needs to stop them from celebrating their moment. What I'm telling you is, you're seeing in the streets with people who are armed, you're seeing conflicts that don't get, turned down. These guys were going to get to their feel good joy and take whatever selfish consequences, including the blowback of having their World Series victory, first one in three decades, tainted by the conversation today being so many people wondering about the intersection of sports and the virus and politics, and everyone wondering, well, what the hell? What is this? Why did we play this entire season when, if one thing had gone differently at the end, Stugat? What the hell would we be doing today?
No idea.
If Game 7 could not be played because there was an outbreak? And we have seen football impacted by this virus, but they get to the end. How the hell did Turner test positive? Like, what happened in the bubble that Justin Turner is now welcoming in the investigations that the Raiders are getting and all these schools, the college football is getting for not handling these protocols correctly.
And I want to be clear, I am not blaming the Dodgers. The emotion is such, it will cloud you so much that Dave Roberts, again, a cancer survivor, was seeking Justin Turner out. And that's exactly the think about that for a second. And it's exactly the reason you have to take that decision out of their hands. As painful as a decision as it might be for someone in Major League Baseball, you just have to say, hey, it's not happening tonight.
Stugatz.
Sorry.
Okay, Stugatz, you've said that. And what I want to ask you is, baseball, it's being reported baseball said that. And what? Now, are you tackling Justin Turner? Are you tasing him? Are you, like, what are you doing? Like, you keep saying that, and baseball's saying, well, we tried.
Well, who's the person that told him that he couldn't? Because it needs to be Rob Manfred. Stugatz. Like, the commissioner needs to go down there.
There's a security guard down there. Have you seen what Turner has said about the commissioner of the sport as it regards the Astros? Like, Manfred would get stuck in Turner's beard as he spits him up because Turner has no use for the commissioner.
I mean, you're asking me a question. I don't have the answer. I don't know the right person.
But that's the easiest place to criticize from. None of us have the answers. It's the easiest place to criticize from because who has answers? Like, we've got a million questions about how this should have been handled, including why is the third baseman getting taken out in the eighth inning of the game?
Did you watch the post-game interview with Manfred? He looked shook. Shook, because I think he realizes, man, I got lucky.
I don't know what to make of how shook he was. Do you think we can get him on for an interview?
Doubt it.
I'd love to talk to him.
I'm sure you would.
I mean, because that's the perfect greedy end to all of it. You got your money. And as I was telling Stugatz during Big Suey, if you told Manfred before this started, look, you're going to get to the end, but it's going to be really messy at the end. His question would have been, am I getting all my money? Am I getting all my television dollars? I'll take whatever I need to get to the end. They proved the entire... They mutated Stugatz. This is the most distorted champion in the history of the sport. We're coming off of cheaters. This is the most distorted champion in the history of this sport. And they got there because they were just trying to get to the money. So the winning money team, the biggest money team, is the one symbolically that ends it while sick. Like, that's a perfect encapsulation of all things sports and America in 2020.
All right, bye.
Don Levitard.
Casino. What did I say there?
I think Stugatz is dyslexic.
Perhaps.
Stugatz.
Mike, can we do some sort of dyslexia test? And now I'm struggling.
Rubbing off on you?
A dyslexic test. Somewhere, is there a way to find on the internet something that would allow us to do a funny dyslexia test?
But if it's proven to be true, then we aren't allowed to laugh at it anymore, right?
Good point.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
All right, we will continue to take these Tua calls, yeah, hoping to get one good one from sea to shining sea. It's 786-456-4837. You've still got days to do this, to make the song that impresses us performed live. There is no prize other than the applause and warmth of our audience, some of which will be inherently critical anyway, because that's the way these things work. But we start out today with Frank. Frank, you're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Frank.
Come on, Frank.
Fitzmagic, are you okay? Are you jealous? Are you upset, Ryan? You've been benched for. You've been hurt by Tungo Valua.
A thumbs down, a strong thumbs down from Tony and Chris. We appreciate when they're bad. Mike, guys, I overheard Stugatz, Mike playing a song that made me laugh that was sounded a little professionally produced by one of our SUI winners. It sounded pretty good. I don't know whether it is worthy of airplay. Is it not?
Yes. James is not a SUI winner, but he's attempting to win one with this little ditty. Easy for me to say. Did I have a stroke there?
So that is slightly stronger than the calls who don't, you know, the calls have to go, or they don't have to go a cappella, but they tend to go a cappella.
Don't bash the callers. I mean, that guy's working with instruments. I mean, he's got a lot of things the callers don't have. I mean, all the callers have is a cell phone and a bad cell line.
But sometimes, Sugats, that is enough. You don't have to have all this production to send in a voice note, and that's what Adam did.
To to make Fitz cry, but he's our quarterback of tomorrow. Burrow is such a bum, and Herbert doesn't matter.
I know, Mike. There was a substantive difference between those two songs. Again, if you have instruments at your you know, beck and call, or if you have an app that helps you do this stuff.
There's an app for that?
There is an app.
Really?
I think we're ready to call the race on just the two of us. I think we have enough of those, guys.
Yes, we don't need any more of those, but feel free to have at it. 786-456-4837. LeGarrette Blount has come out and said he agrees with Kanye that Friends is not funny.
Oh, my God.
I loved that sentence.
That is a controversial thing.
The most controversial moment of LeGarrette Blount's public speaking life, he has claimed that Friends is not funny. Now, I believe we might find some cultural differences as it regards Friends. I believe that the cultures laugh at different things.
I mean, you want to upset white people?
You talking about the Friends, or you talking about their audience? It's LeGarrette Blount. It is the most controversial thing he's ever said, correct?
It's the most controversial thing he's ever done. I can't possibly think of another thing.
Right. I can't name another time he said anything. So I
can't remember another time we got upset at him.
I meant public comments. I thought I made it clear that I was talking about strictly and exclusively.
Yeah, but I wanted to bring it back to that time he punched someone in the face.
Wasn't he also caught with Blount? Isn't that how he ended up one year going from Pittsburgh to New England? I think that's something that happened, right? I think there was some people were comparing him to Method Man and Red Man, right? I don't know who he was riding with. Roy, I'm sure Roy has the details because Roy remembers all of these details.
Whoa.
No. I don't have the details on that, but I gotta say he's right.
He was charged with pot possession.
Yeah.
What is he right about? That Friends is not funny? God.
Not only is Friends not funny, it's stolen. Friends was based off of Living Single, and it just decided to pander to white people. Hmm. He's right.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, in the long tradition of music where the white man steals the black man's music, we did it with Friends as well. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, just like that. In the long tradition of white people stealing black people music, did Friends steal the story of living single.
Roy, with all due respect, I'll decide for myself what I find to be funny. And I am still laughing many, many years later. I watch Friends, episodes I have seen 15 times, and they still make me laugh.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, well, after many, many years, I'm still not laughing at Friends.
But not because it's stolen, because like LeGarrette Blount, you think it's not funny.
Exactly.
786-456-4837 is the telephone number. We go out to Chase. Chase, do you have a Tua song for us?
Hey, Tua, don't make us bad. Take a bad team and make us better.
Nailed
well, you
it.
Kept it short. Yes. Thank you for keeping it short. If that had gone on another lyric, it would have been awful. Instead, it was merely terrible.
Thank God this is over.
No, it's not over.
Thunder forward, my friend.
786-456-4837. More Tua calls. Mike, why do you have a look on your face like you stepped into a bad-smelling bathroom?
I did.
Don Lebatard.
Hey, Dave.
Stugatz.
What up?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kansas City Mayor Quinton Lucas, U.S. Senators Roy Blount, Pat Roberts, and Jerry Moran, and U.S. Representative Emmanuel Cleaver wrote to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment about Kansas City hosting the Toronto Raptors should they be unable to play in Canada due to COVID-19 restrictions.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Christine Lisi, our apologies. Please continue on what it is that you were saying.
And finally, a Philippine police officer was tragically killed during a cockfighting raid after one of the roosters accidentally cut his femoral artery, causing massive blood loss. The officer was collecting evidence when he was cut by the blade attached to the bird's leg. Ooh.
Dear God, Christine.
You're starting off a little dark today.
Yeah, I mean, a little dark, Christine. Good Lord. A murderous cock.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. Thank you for being on with us, as always. Here is Bill Chuck from the Chicago Sun-Times, okay, Stugatz? Because so many people...
Two first names.
So many people are criticizing the Tampa Bay Rays today because throughout most times in baseball history, at any time that someone is pitching like Blake Snell pitched last night, you stay in the game.
You do.
And the Rays have not done it that way all season long.
I can tell you that Blake Snell won a Cy Young, had a great season, never went into the eighth inning. I mean, that's just the way the Rays are.
The Rays play that way. But beyond that, I'm going to give you some numbers here, and I know Billy is going to rail against this. And I want to go to Billy and Chris. They've got a beef with the commish, Sarah Spain, that I want to get to as well. I want to see what their confidence level is. As Sarah Spain was very indignant last night about Justin Turner being on the field without a mask during the virus.
You want to see if their confidence level on air matches their confidence level off it.
That is correct. Yeah. That is what I want to see. But I want to get to a couple of numbers here because I know most of us, anyone listening to this, almost everyone is going to say, yes, I would have kept Blake Snell in the game. Of course, what happens after that is the analytics disaster, where you bring in a reliever who hadn't been as good as Blake Snell this postseason. He immediately gives up runs and you lose the World Series.
It didn't help that after the game, Mookie Betts said it appeared all we needed was to get Blake Snell out of the game. I mean, he did say that. Dad.
But here are your numbers. Okay. Yes, Mookie Betts is saying that. But here are your numbers. Bill Chuck, two first names, as you mentioned. Yeah. Look, I don't agree with Cash pulling Snell after 73 effective pitches, but these are the numbers the Rays were looking at. In five postseason appearances, Snell threw 76 pitches after pitch number 73 and 19 batters were 6-for-15. They hit 400 with two home runs, four walks, and an OPS near 1.4. Beyond that, Stugatz, and this is another number for their reasoning, Snell, after the first time through the order this year, totally ordinary pitcher. After the first time through the order, opponents hit 140 with one home run the first time they saw him. The second time they saw him, 307 with seven home runs. The third time they saw him, they were hitting 304.
Right. But that's not going to be the case every time. And so you have, like, sometimes, Dan.
But nothing in baseball is going to be the case every time.
I understand that. And listen, you have changed me in terms of analytics. I'm at least more open-minded to them than I once was. But sometimes you got to trust your gut, and sometimes you got to trust the player. And the player had struck out 9 of 18 batters that he faced. He was really grooving. Like, he was feeling it, and the Dodgers knew it, and they were struggling. And it's an elimination game. And sometimes you got to buck the norm, your norm, and kind of go with your gut and do something different. And I think that's what fans wanted to see last night.
All right, well,
like, stop letting a computer manage your team. Manage your team, please.
It is a plague. And Tom Boswell of the Washington Post, who has been writing baseball for a long time, says, did the Rays even watch the previous Snell Betts at bat? Snell started and finished fanning Betts in mild slump in World Series with 97-98 up and away, on which he swung 2 feet late, completely overpowered. No matchup with Betts is good, but this is the one you want, not one you duck to hook a brilliant Snell. I think most people agree with you, Stugatz, but also if you go with your gut, maybe you don't trust Kershaw in this World Series, right? If you're going with your gut and the numbers are what the numbers are, maybe you stop trusting. Like, somebody's got to be wrong, right? Like,
well, I mean, listen, the other side of this is if, you know, he keeps Snell in and Snell gives up a bunch of runs, and then we're all criticizing them for not doing what they've done forever.
Are we?
Mike, you know they're going to get criticized either way.
If Snell loads the bases and then has to be pulled because it's clear that he doesn't have his stuff, are we taken to the national airwaves and saying, man, how did you not pull him after he was dominant through the first?
That's not the example, Mike. That's not the example Stugatz is giving you.
You keep Snell in, and Snell gives up a ton of runs.
And then all of a sudden, you're doing it differently than you've done it all season with Snell. You're inviting the stamina questions and the third time through the lineup questions.
Not just all season, Mike. The last 5 seasons, 6 seasons.
Yeah, but what I'm posing is there's got to be a middle ground, no? You're off to one extreme, and what they did seemed extreme to me because I'm not nose diving into the baseball analytics. It seemed shocking. He was grooving, and he wasn't at 100 pitches yet. So why not?
Wasn't at 80 yet?
Why not? Let's see if he's still got it. If they can touch him, if he loads the bases, then you lean on your analytics. That's where the gut comes in.
The thing that I find interesting about all of this, because so much of this ends up being random and decided by happenstance all across sports, you know, luck and good fortune having things to do that numbers can't possibly quantify. That entire sport is so plagued by numbers at this point that if a guy hits the ball through the left side where the shortstop would have been, you can for an enormous hit, you can criticize all the numbers making you shift because in that particular circumstance, a guy did something against the probabilities. Like, in that sport, you can question almost every decision made at any time. So when we get to the end and there are stakes, what for years we've been doing is criticizing Dusty Baker for wearing out arms, for just blowing out all his arms because he goes too many innings with them and doesn't trust the science that says, you know, what you've seen baseball do with the evolution, which is starters need to go as hard as they can for 6 innings, not as hard as they can depleted in the 8th inning, because I can go get a guy in the bullpen who is healthy and fresh and hasn't pitched 8 innings to come in throwing 98 miles an hour.
But some of the great postseason moments have been moments where pitchers, Madison Bumgarner, Jack Morris in a Game 7, those have been great moments. And we've kind of been stripped of those moments the way starting pitching goes.
And if there had been a shift in Edgar Renteria's day, a Game 7 doesn't get won by the Marlins with a hit up the middle. If they did the math and they knew that the shift should have swung everyone over to the left side of the infield.
But that sport just seems overly reliant. It's totally run amok there. Look, he'd rely on analytics. They brought in Shane Battier. He heads up, I think, their analytics department. Spo embraces the analytics. And he even says Jimmy Butler is an anti-analytics player, which doesn't make any sense. And Spo sometimes just says that to project that. But every single number tells you don't play Jimmy Butler, you know, the entire game. But he goes off a field. And you win two games. And it gets him eliminated in six, much like the Rays.
I think Billy asked a great question during the Big Suey. If you're going to do it that way, what's the point of having Kevin Cash? What's the point of having a manager if you're just programmed and wired to take a pitcher out after a certain amount of pitches and time?
I'm assuming that Kevin Cash isn't actually just a calculator. I'm assuming that he's not going...
Prove it.
100% of the time. I can't prove it at this moment because I don't know how often he actually goes with his gut on things. I don't know whether he's a slave 100% of the time to the numbers.
I'd love to know if Kevin Cash, if he wanted to keep Blake Snell in the game, if he was allowed to keep Blake Snell in the game. I'd like to know that. I'm being serious.
Okay, but let's go the next step on this. What's word association with Grady Little? What's the word association you do with Grady Little?
Pedro?
He kept Pedro in too long.
Yep.
He kept Pedro, the most dominant pitcher most of us have ever seen. He kept him in too long. It's the word association. Grady Little's been out of the game for how long? Grady Little didn't do analytics. Grady Little's gone from the game, and the thing you associate with him is not doing what the Rays did with Blake Snell last night.
And now the word association with Kevin Cash is he didn't leave him in long enough, and he cost his team a World Series.
Is that where you are with him? That's where you are? He cost his team the World Series last night by taking Blake Snell out? Like, that's it?
Well, he cost them a chance of going to Game 7. The thing about analytics that's kind of annoying is that the numbers were wrong yesterday, right? But no one's going to tell you, well, that was the wrong decision because they lost the game because of it, because there's this whole back and forth with numbers and people that don't like numbers. So the people that like the numbers just will not admit that didn't play out the way it should have played out yesterday. Which was that the right decision?
I'm hearing numbers guys even say, Billy, and it's weird, you shouldn't do this. If you're going to be a metric guy, then be a metric guy, okay? Don't come over to my side all of a sudden because of a call last night or a bad decision by a manager. I've actually heard guys who love the metrics, and they have been bashing Kevin Cash this morning. So
I think most people are there. This is what I would say to you as it regards randomness, luck, and happenstance. If the Rays could have just gotten two more innings out of Blake Snell, the Dodgers would have been ransacked by COVID. Like, it would have changed the entire World Series. He didn't just cost us. Blake Snell and Kevin Cash. Yeah. They didn't just cost us that World Series for them. They cost us the content garden of no Game 7 being played because Justin Turner is out there running around.
Dance, puppets, dance.
You're really upset we missed out on that, aren't you?
I mean, I'm not upset that more people aren't sick and closer to dying. As a journalist who likes his content and anarchy,
what would they have done?
What would they have done would have been an excellent place to spend today's show.
I was so worried for you when he asked you the Grady Little question, because that's one of those, there's only one right answer here. And I'm like, that's a lot of pressure to put on Stu Gatz.
Oh, no, I knew it was Pedro. I just didn't, you know, I don't know.
When's the last time you thought about Grady Little?
And then I was starting to process whether, you know, Dan said Grady Little's out of baseball. And I was like, is Grady Little out of life? But he's not. And so I didn't kill him. No fine. Don't you dare.
Did you look it up?
I did. He's 70.
Advance Auto Parts, people.
How is he 70? I feel like he was 70 when he was managing the Red Sox.
Yeah, he was 70.
I mean, we're not making Grady's. We stopped making Grady's about 50 years ago.
Don Lebatard.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, God. Another guy takes himself way too seriously. You're an actor. Get over it, Daniel Day-Lewis. I know you get really into the role. You know who doesn't get into his role? Vin Diesel. And you know who's rolling all the way to the bank? Vin Diesel.
Stugatz.
What has he won the Oscars for?
There Will Be Blood. Lincoln he won for. And what? My Left Foot. Yeah.
Deserved. Oh, My Left Foot. He got so deep into character that for, I think, 6 months, he was actually trying to live his life using only his left foot.
Well, Vin Diesel lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. You have a nation, man. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Mr. E702 says, it was a great series. Can't you talk about that? It had small balls, stolen bases, manufactured runs, amazing pitching. Everything Tim Kirchen gets excited about. Celebrate that. Discuss that. Get high-pitched over that.
Chris Cody has announced that this is the most Monday morning quarterback show that we have ever done around here. All of us know exactly how to handle it when Justin Turner is trying to get on the face on the field after testing positive.
That part's easy. The Rays just stuck to their game plan, and they're getting crucified for it.
That's right. The same game plan. Congratulations, Rays, for being smarter than everyone else and getting to the end. We don't like math, and also we like it when the human beings beat the computers.
It got them to within two games of the World Series. There were only two teams playing last night, Dan. The other
one of them had had a lot of money. The other one had a manager just named Cash. Snell didn't want to come out of the game. Cash says they're Cash says that they're fair questions. Like, he's not objecting. He understands that his job, when you ask, Billy, when you ask, what's the point of having a manager if all he's going to do is follow the numbers? There are a couple of points now in the modern age with these computer guys who are running these franchises, and both of those are run by computers. Just one of them has a lot more money than the other. You asked, why have a manager? The reason to have a manager is secondarily to answer those questions in that spot. But the reason to have a manager is because you can't have these guys govern themselves. Somebody has to tell a guy he's not playing, he's coming out of a game. That's not an easy thing to do, to tell a professional competitor and athlete. And this is the harder part of the job. Hey, you're not good enough to play for me. You've crafted this skill your entire life, but I'm only going to play you here in these certain circumstances. You need to come out of the game. Snell's never going to want to come out of that game. Why would Snell ever want to come out of that game? He's been trained his whole life to dream about pitching in that moment. He felt like he was in a groove. That is the manager's hard job, making those decisions, even if he's doing something that a printout tells him to do.
Well, then he's not making the decision. He's just doing what a printout's telling him to do, and the person that came up with the printout can do it. And then if you're a poor team like the Rays, you save the money on his salary and give it to players.
I think what Dan is saying is someone needs to actually communicate that to Blake Snell.
Well, why do you think that Joe Madden, that too, but why do you think Joe Madden doesn't work there anymore? He went to a team that was going to pay him.
Put it on a t-shirt and put it on a puppy and send the puppy out. He won't get mad at the puppy.
You are listening to Dan and Stu from the Clevelander on ESPN Radio.